Contained herein are the heresies of Radolf Burntwine, erstwhile monk-turned-traveling medical investigator. Join me as I uncover the blasphemous truth of a plague-ridden world, that ours is not a loving God, and we are not its favored children. The Heresies of Radolf Burntwine, coming January 2nd, wherever podcasts are available.
Hey everybody, welcome to the Dungeon Cast. I'm Brian.
And I'm Will.
This is the podcast where we talk about everything Dungeons & Dragons, from youthful yokels to yelping yokels. And today we're talking about Yetis.
Prepare yourselves.
Prepare yourselves.
So of all the monstrous creatures that dwell...
You're not going to say hi to me?
Oh, hey, Brian.
Hey, Will. Read the page.
So of all the monstrous creatures that dwell in the cold places of the world, there is perhaps none as actively feared and warded against in towns and villages as the Yeti. White dragons and frost giants are far more powerful and deadly, but are also quite rarely situated near any established humanoid settlement. Yetis are more common and numerous, and as such pose a more everyday threat than either of these legendary monsters. A Yeti's windborne howl sounds out across remote mountains, striking fear into the hearts of the scattered miners and herders that dwell there. These hulking creatures stalk alpine peaks in a ceaseless hunt for food. They are strong, fierce, intelligent, and move nearly imperceptibly against a backdrop of ice and snow. Their ability to blend into the snow, coupled with their eerie howl, sometimes heard echoing through the mountains, has given them a reputation as sinister, supernatural creatures, and in most editions, they are. But in some, they're actually little more than large carnivorous apes. These deadly predators are based off of the creature from Himalayan folklore of the same name.
Very, very folklore still, it seems like.
Mm-hmm.
I can only picture the guy from Monsters, Inc. that's just straight chilling.
No, yeah.
Eating snow cones.
You know, I always just picture the one from, is it Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer?
Oh, yeah. The clay one?
I always picture that one, yeah.
That's not bad. Or Empire Strikes Back, you know?
Oh, yeah, sure.
Those aren't Yetis, but, yeah, but that's like the closest thing Star Wars got to it.
It's basically a Yeti. So in Himalayan folklore, the Yeti is a monstrous creature. The entity has also come to be referred to as abominable snowman in popular culture. The names Yeti and Mete are commonly used by the people indigenous to the region and are part of their folk beliefs. According to some, the Yeti was a part of the pre-Buddhist beliefs of several Himalayan peoples. Some sources claim it originated as a glacier being, worshipped as a god of the hunt. It's also been reported that followers of the Bon religion once believed the blood of the wild man had used in certain mystical ceremonies. This being was depicted as an ape-like creature who carries a large stone as a weapon and makes a whistling swoosh sound.
That's interesting. So they're almost looking at it as like a Neanderthal of some kind.
Yeah.
All right.
So Yetis in D&D are depicted as an amalgamation between a human, an ape, and a bear with horns of a ram or goat atop their head.
A bear or a ram? Okay, that I guess I can see that.
You should pull up 5th edition Yeti and see what the image looks like.
You know what's funny is I fought them, but I didn't ever really see them.
Oh, I see.
D&D, 5e, Yeti.
Yep. Their feet and hands are wide and flat, which helps to disperse their great weight on treacherous snowfields. They travel on all fours like apes, but fight very comfortably standing erect. Unlike most apes and gorillas, the Yetis do not have an opposable toe on its feet. They wear no clothing or ornamentation. The spore or smell of a Yeti is very subtle in cold climates, but in confined or warm areas, they have a strong musky odor. The eyes of a Yeti are piercing icy blue or almost colorless. Their claws and flesh are ivory white. Unlike many Arctic creatures, the Yeti does not have a thick layer of body fat to keep it warm. Instead, it relies upon the special properties of its thick, warm fur. As a transparent second eyelid, which allows the creature to see in blowing snow, it prevents its eyes from freezing in extreme temperatures.
Its warm, thick, stink-ass coat,
yeah,
where it can also smell the skin of its Yeti compatriots from 40 miles away.
Indeed.
I'm waiting for that paragraph.
Yeah, right. Did you pull up the image?
Yeah, I did. It's
The horns?
It's terrifying. And yeah. I keep thinking more and more about the how much more this one looks like the Yeti creature on that Disney ride, the Matterhorn.
Does it look like that one? It's been too long. I don't remember.
Let me go ahead and switch it up to
that Yeti creature on the Matterhorn. You mean the Yeti on the Matterhorn?
You mean the Yeti? That Yeti-like creature, the Yeti? Pretty close. No horns, but the body is pretty much the same. It looks a little more like shaggy, you know, fur all around
it. Sure.
I like the yell this thing makes, but I'm going to recommend you don't ride the Matterhorn at Disneyland if you're bigger than like 5'7", because you'll fucking feel like you're about to fly straight off that shit.
Oh, that's a very old roller coaster.
It is sketch, dude. It is not, it made me fear my life. It's like the only ride at Disneyland that makes me fear my fucking life.
All right. Well, back to the Yeti.
Yeah.
The Yeti is a fierce hunter of the polar regions. It stalks its prey and even lays ambushes, attempting to gain surprise. Folk of the high peaks travel in groups and go armed, knowing that Yetis can smell living flesh from miles away.
There it is. There it is.
When it finds its prey, a Yeti moves quickly over ice and stone to claim its meal, howling to the thrill of the hunt. Even in a blizzard, the scent of its quarry draws the Yeti through the cold and snow. A favorite trick of the most clever of Yetis is to get ahead of its prey and lie in a depression in the snow or lie in a shallow pit and cover itself with snow, springing forth to claim the flesh of their unsuspecting
prey. I'm trying not to reference the Hunger Games.
Yetis hunt in solitude or in small family groups. When creatures flee from a Yeti or engage it in battle, however, other Yetis have been known to catch the scent of blood and close in. The territorial Yetis fight one another for the spoils of such battles, and Yetis slain in the fight are also eaten amid euphoric howls.
Peter from Hunger Games. There's, the stink thing. It's back.
Yeah, stink thing's back and never left.
Never left. This is, we're going to add it to the list, the long list of things in D&D that are common across every edition, which is things.
Things that smell.
Baby stealing.
Baby stealing.
Baby stealing. What are the other ones? I feel like we kind of got away from them.
We did.
In the lore. But we're going to add whatever they are, and I'm sure somebody out there remembers. Just add that this fantasy world that we made, that Gary Gygax is responsible for, smells like shit. It
smells so bad.
And the monsters here take advantage of that.
It's true. So speaking of their howls, though, the howl of a Yeti is supposed to be something truly eerie to behold. There's nothing magical about it, nor is it tied to any of their abilities, but the lore speaks of a borderline supernatural quality to their screams. Before an avalanche, a blizzard, or a deadly frost, the Yeti's howl sweep down the mountain slopes on the icy wind.
That's convenient.
Some superstitious peoples of the Alpine Peaks believe that the voices of loved ones killed in avalanches and blizzards sound out amongst the wails of the Yetis, crying warnings of ill omen. More pragmatic folk attest to the Yeti's howl is a reminder that despite the great accomplishments of civilization, the civilized become the hunted in nature's untamed domain. Now, this concept vaguely reminds me of some of the lore about the Wendigo from Native American folklore. Mm-hmm. Some lore states that the Wendigos can mimic the sound of loved ones crying out to lure victims into traps.
Ah, yes. Llorona.
Yeah, I really like that.
Crying out for her children.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Although the Yeti is a creature of near average human intelligence, roughly about a 9, they have no true civilization. They can use simple tools, including man-made weapons, but will not make any themselves. Yetis live in ice caves in hills and mountains. Sometimes these are natural. Sometimes they're excavated or enlarged by Yetis to accommodate their family. Most treasures found on Yetis and in their caves are items recovered from the bodies of explorers.
Yetis sound super lonely.
They do. Like, well, they got their family, though.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, they got their family. Well, that's an interesting idea. A barbarian who was like a halfling raised by Yetis. Moving on.
Nice.
Life is harsh in the Arctic, and friends and food are hard to find, making survival and reproduction the Yeti's only goals. Yetis will associate only with their immediate family, the young leaving to fend for themselves as soon as they are mature. Any living creature not of their family is considered potential food, including other Yetis. This does not make them foolhardy. Only a starving Yeti will attack any obviously stronger party. Their typical diet consists of herd creatures such as caribou, bears, wolves, and other creatures inhabiting the snowy mountains in which they live. And when mountain herds are abundant, Yetis tend to stay clear of humanoid realms. In times of famine, driven by hunger, however, they attack humanoid settlements in waves, going as far as breaking down town gates and stockade walls that once might have daunted them, then devouring the creatures within.
Yikes.
I know.
Die in a Yeti swarm.
Yeah, that's terrifying. Devious mountain folk sometimes use Yetis as unwitting weapons. A warlord might lay down slaughtered sheep or goats to draw Yetis into an enemy's camp, sowing chaos and thinning the ranks before the battle. Mountain clan chiefs, wanting to expand their territory, overhunt local game to diminish the Yeti's food supplies, inspiring attacks on humanoid settlements that are swiftly annexed into the aftermath. Mm. So maybe this episode teaches us that it is us and not the Yeti who's the real monster in D&D.
That seems super accurate.
Yeah.
So Yetis are just, they're a byproduct of us, the real enemy.
Indeed.
Adventurers.
And in that vein of conversation, Yetis are sometimes hunted by humanoid races. They're Their claws and teeth have value for their toughness and rarity of the creature. The Yeti fur is prized by those living in cold climates for its extraordinary ability to keep its wearer warm. A full-grown Yeti pelt can fetch up to 300 gold pieces in the open market. There's also a substance derived from the Yeti remains called Yeti oil, which can be used as a potent poison.
But be careful. Some merchants will come around telling you that this Yeti oil is full of good shit, and it's not.
Don't cook with that Yeti butter.
Don't do it. It's like, it's bad. I know Year of the Giant technically it's not over, but we've recorded our last episode like in giant stuff, but a frost giant decked out in like Yeti skins and like Yeti horns and teeth and stuff.
That'd be super dope.
That's a cool thing.
It's very terrifying.
It's a neat thing I said.
Yeah. Yetis are also known for their two innately magical abilities. Their paralyzing gaze and their complete immunity to cold.
I remember that.
The Yeti's icy simian gaze can freeze its prey in place. Whether this is due to fear or some magical freezing ability is not really explained. And though Yetis are immune to cold, they are extremely vulnerable to fire and have an innate deep-seated fear of the element.
Okay, that all makes sense. Mm-hmm. I'm going to make you feel like you're frozen, but you're not. But it feels like it, though.
Sure does.
All right.
Lastly, there are creatures known as abominable Yetis. Mm. An abominable Yeti is larger than a normal Yeti, standing three times as tall as a human. It typically lives and hunts alone, though a pair of abominable Yetis might live together long enough to raise young. These towering Yetis are highly territorial and savage, attacking and devouring any warm-blooded creature they encounter, then scattering the bones across the ice and snow. Neat. They also have a powerful frost breath attack similar to that of a white dragon.
Oh, cool. Yeah. Okay, that's a nice little flavor upgrade there.
Indeed. And that's all I got about Yetis. You got any questions?
Why didn't we take a short rest?
Because we're going to take a short rest, and then you're going to do some stat block reading.
Oh, I love it.
Yeah.
Let's take a short rest.
Let's do it.
Hey, folks. I'm here today to tell you about Visible. Something unfortunate about wireless services, what you see isn't always what you get. But with Visible, what you see is what you get. No perception check required. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon for just $25 a month, taxes and fees included. If you're looking for a carrier that is upfront with no hidden fees, then go to Visible.com to make the switch. You don't need more than one line of wireless to save, and you're going to be getting unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. Visible is the wireless carrier that's constantly operating from a zone of truth. In their quest for total transparency, Visible wants you to know the monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com. Save on wireless without the hassle. Switch to Visible today and save at Visible.com. Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to did we just hit a million orders stage? Shopify is there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout, 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify is great. They're taking businesses of all sizes, cradling them in their arms, to help them grow by giving them the tools they need. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S., and Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success at every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/dungeoncast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/dungeoncast now to grow your business no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/dungeoncast.
Hey everybody, be sure to check out
Super Quest Saga, a future fantasy 5th edition D&D actual play podcast homebrewed and dungeon mastered by yours truly, me. And set in space.
And I play in it, along with your special guest Jake and friend of the show, Josh Freeland.
You can find it on YouTube, iTunes, or anywhere else you can get your podcasts.
Super Quest Saga!
We
We've returned.
Indeed, we have.
I'm back to read you stat blocks.
Indeed.
About big dudes that stand in such a way as if to, like, look at my magnificence. Also, here's my junk. It's a big furry patch.
Yeah. Yeah, it's true.
Scary.
I'm looking at it right now. Honestly, that'd be terrifying.
Yeah, there's a lot of recurring junk out sort of things in the last few episodes. yeah, smelly stuff, junk out stuff. Maybe they're linked together somehow.
Maybe.
Let's get into the statistics
of Yetis. The Yeti.
Typically, a pack of Yetis will kill 7 to 8 humans per year at a rate of... No, those are the wrong statistics, sorry. Yeti is a large monstrosity of chaotic evil.
Oh, wow.
Their armor class is 12, natural armor. Hmm. Their hit points are 51. Their speed is 40 feet, with a climb speed of 40 feet, which is horrifying considering you're probably on a mountain.
Yeah, that's true.
Or they're just climbing your house if they're in the
mood. That's also terrifying.
Yes, with a strength of 18, a dex of 13, a con of 16, an intelligence of 8, a wisdom of 12, and a charisma of 7.
Mm.
Really uncharismatic.
I mean, who needs to be?
They just yell a whole lot.
Yeah.
And then the ghosts of your ancestors yell out alongside them.
For some reason.
Like, run, dog, run. There's a blizzard coming. Also, there's a Yeti out here. All right. So skills, perception plus 3 and stealth plus 3.
Okay.
Damage immunities. Cold.
Yeah.
They've got 60 feet of dark vision. And passive perception. That was probably the other thing of a list of D&D stuff is dark vision equals regular vision and regular vision equals bad vision.
Yeah, that is another thing for sure.
Don't fart in the Underdark.
Don't do that. Yeah.
Okay, they're coming back.
Yeah.
The languages they speak is Yeti, a challenge rating of 3, which is right around the golden number here.
Yeah.
So.
Did you go over a vulnerability?
It doesn't have that yet. Fear of fire is the next thing.
Oh, okay.
So if, what do they call these? Are these abilities? Fear of fire, or just
that doesn't say anything. That's a good title. A feature.
I was wondering, so. Like, yeah. Struggle with what feature. To call it. A creature feature. The first creature feature is the fear of fire. If the Yeti takes fire damage, it has disadvantage on attack rolls and ability checks until the end of its turn.
Okay, so it's not actually vulnerable. It just fire fucks it up. Is that how it is?
If the Yeti takes fire damage, it has disadvantage on attack rolls and ability checks until the end of its
you
next
sure
turn.
Sure, it doesn't have vulnerabilities up by immunities up there?
Mm, yep. I mean, this is an older monster manual.
Okay. No, that's cool.
All right, keen smell. The Yeti has advantage on wisdom or perception checks that rely on smell. Snow camouflage. The Yeti has advantage on dexterity stealth checks made to hide in snowy terrain.
Yeah, so they're big ambushers, big hunters.
Big hunter boys, or girls, or whatever. Actions, multi-attack. The Yeti can use its chilling gaze to make 2 claw attacks, which we've sort of covered already.
Yeah, that's pretty brutal. Chilling gaze and then 2 claw attacks. Yeah.
Lock you down. Love lockdown.
Yeah.
Claw is a melee weapon attack with a plus 6 to hit, a reach of 5 feet, one target. So it's going to do, on a hit, 7 or 1d6 plus 4 slashing damage, plus 3, 1d6 cold damage.
So 2d6 plus 7?
Yeah, 1d6 plus 4, and then another d6 of cold.
So 2d6 plus 4, and if they hit, that's 4d6 plus 8,
yeah.
And you're paralyzed. That sucks.
That's pretty bad. Yeah, this chilling gaze says the Yeti targets one creature it can see within 30 feet of it. If the target can see the Yeti, the target must succeed on a DC 13 constitution saving throw against this magic or take 10, 3d6, cold damage and then be paralyzed for 1 minute.
Oh, so it's damage and you're paralyzed?
Yikes.
Jeez.
That's pretty hardcore. That's a lot of D6s.
So these guys are the perfect challenge rating, right? They're 3?
3.
Like, perfect low-level boss.
Yeah.
Perfect mid-level mini-boss, especially if you pair them up.
Man.
And perfect mob at the high levels.
Yeah, if you get surrounded by these guys, yikes, you ain't going nowhere.
But if you're being put up against, like, a group of 6 of these things, you're probably more like level 9 or 10. Mm. And so, like, it's going to be a tough fight, but, like, that's a fun fight.
Yeah, it seems fun. Also, like, if this is happening during a blizzard and, like, it's hard to see this Yeti, that might factor in here.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
So things to consider there. Let's see. Unless it's immune to cold damage, you're good. That's where I left off. The target can repeat the saving throw at the end of each of its turns, ending the effect on itself on a success. If the target's saving throw is successful if the effect ends on it, the target is immune to chilling gaze of all Yetis, but not an abominable Yeti. All Yetis except abominable ones for 1 hour.
Okay,
so the rest of the fight, for
you're
sure,
good.
At
yeah.
least.
Yeah.
Unless, and then we've turned the page.
To the abominable Yeti.
To the abominable Yeti. This is some cool mountain art. Some snowy peaks and valleys here. Very cool D&D book.
Mm-hmm.
It was appreciated. All right, the Abominable Yeti is a huge monstrosity of chaotic evil with an armor class of 15, all natural. Hit points, 137, which is substantially more, if I remember correctly, from one page ago. Yes, about three times the amount.
Yes.
Well, less than that. But speed is 40 feet, climb is 40 feet, which is the same. Now we get into the strength, which is a very beefy 24 strength.
God damn.
With a dex of 10, a con, a very beefy con of 22, 9 intelligence, slightly smarter. 13 wisdom and 9 charisma, so they can sweet talk you just a little better. Let's see here. Perception is plus 5, stealth plus 4 in terms of skills. Damage immunities, cold. Senses, dark vision of 60 feet, passive perception of 15. The language he speaks is Yeti, with a challenge rating 9, so much higher. Fear of fire is still here. The Yeti takes fire damage, has a disadvantage on attack rolls and ability checks until the end of his next turn. Keen smell and snow camouflage, all those things stay the same. The multi-attack. The Yeti can use its chilling gaze and make 2 claw attacks. It's pretty much the same thing. The only thing that's different here is the damage, it looks like, is doubled.
Yeah.
So melee weapon attack is going to be a plus 11 to hit, reach of 5 feet, 1 target on a hit.
I feel like the reach should be further if this dude's like almost huge. Is he huge?
He's huge.
Why should his reach be 5 feet? It should be 10 feet.
Yeah,
it's weird.
Maybe if he's if it's extra cold outside, he can go farther. I don't know. We've kind of said that like that's a little bit off.
Yeah.
So you should probably increase that.
That's what I would do.
Okay. Let's see, where did I leave off? The hit is 14 or 2d6 plus 7 slashing damage plus 7 or 2d6 cold damage. It's a big buff there. Chilling gaze. Yeti's going to target a creature you can see within 30 feet. If the target can see the Yeti. Succeed on a DC 18 con save throw against this magic.
Ooh, that's a high save, yeah.
21 or 6d6 cold damage.
Oof.
And be paralyzed for 1 minute. Mm-hmm. Unless it's immune to cold damage, which, like, what player character is immune to cold damage?
Very few.
The target can repeat the saving throw at the end of each of his turn, ending it successfully. You guys get it. Cold breath is going to recharge on a 6. So that just means that you roll a d6 on each of this thing's turn.
Yeah.
If you roll the 6, you get to do the cold breath again, because if you do it, you expend it. Got to recharge it.
Yeah.
The Yeti exhales a 30-foot cone of frigid air. Cold, cold breath. Each creature in that area must make a DC 18 constitution saving throw, taking 45 or 10d8 cold damage on a failed save, or half as much damage on a successful one. So an Abominable Yeti plus 2 normal Yetis equals a fucking hard fight.
Yes, very much so. Yeah.
Yeah, this guy is wild.
Yeah, he's a big boy.
Shoot, man. this recharge, man, these recharges are nutty for sure.
Man, so, oh yeah, sorry.
The power level on these, you can kind of tell how strong they are because of like what you need to roll for the recharge. So it's only a 6, so 1 in 6 chance, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
He's got so lucky I didn't recharge the frost breath on the thing you fought in Super Quest Saga.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. Cause it definitely almost killed me the first time you did it.
Yeah,
frost breath, no joke, cold damage, no joke. And like no one's resistant or immune as far as like party player characters, unless an item is in play or some kind of magic.
Yeah, yeah.
Because there's a wizard spell that can give you resistance to like stuff like cold and things. I'm pretty sure.
And there are class features that can give you resistances to certain elements. And I think if you get super high level, they can turn into immunities. But they're few and far between.
Yeah. Basically what I'm saying is like, this is really uncommon to have these resistances.
To have straight immunities. Yeah, definitely.
Yeah. So players are going to get schmacked.
Yeah. With that being said, I think we're ready to get ready for a long rest.
Let's get ready for the long rest.
Let's do it.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to the long rest. These slippies are fucking cold as fuck because they're just fucking ice cubes. They're ice cubes. Or the nice slippies. The nice slippies could be they're super duper warm because they're covered in Yeti fur.
Yeah,
and they have little Yetis at the
Yeti
end of them.
Slippies.
That seems like a low hanging,
it's
just the monster face
one.
On the end.
That's the easy one.
I like the ice cubes.
Okay, sure.
My feet can launch a cold breath if I click my heels together, but only on a 6.
I almost feel like you're shopping in the slippy store. You see the Yeti ones. You're like, man, those ones are too easy. And then you see the ice cube ones. I'm going to put those on.
Yeah. They don't even have the ice cube. I go up to the tailor up front. I'm like, can you just make some fucking ice cubes? I need to do a bit. That's it. That's all I got. This is one of the last slippies.
Yeah. There's
like two more.
Two more slippy sets.
I'm gonna look. How many slippies are we doing? I'm going to work really hard and pregame.
Pregame
for my
slippies.
Oh, this is a good one. Yeah. The next two are good.
I tried to end the the year on a weird note.
Absolutely, you did. Mm. I'm excited. The next two episodes are going to be great, you guys. Happy holidays to all of you who celebrate holidays. Indeed. At this time happy of holidays. The year, or mm. whenever, I guess. Yeah. Saying happy holidays is like a blanket, you know, yeah, like a big, warm, it nice everything. Blanket.
Yeah.
Merry stuff.
Merry you do. All the festivities.
Merry cold times festivities.
Yeah.
And or whatever it
good
is.
Winter.
Good winter to you. Happy solstice, y'all. I hope that you guys are doing well in the chaos of the outside world. We seem to be doing okay and getting by. Mm-hmm. Us in America are having a real hard time just getting it together at any level, it seems like.
Yeah.
So, you know, but we'll make it. Stay safe. Wear your mask. Please help others. Mm-hmm. Be considerate. And love one another and all that good shit. We love you guys. Thank you very much for spreading the word about the Dungeoncast.
Yes.
We're really happy for everybody who participated in our contest this year. We did a lot more than we did doing some experiments, and it worked out. You know, we created some traction, spread the word about the Dungeoncast, and that's great. We're looking forward to next year, which is going to have a new theme. We got a couple episodes left in the bank. If you're on Patreon, you know what that new theme is. And if you want to tell people about it, that's on you.
Mm-hmm.
But we're not going to announce it until we do.
Yeah. Until the first episode publicly. Of next year.
You can join our Patreon and support us monthly. It really helps. It's the next best thing you can do aside from telling your friends about the show. At patreon.com/thedungeoncast. You can find Will on Twitter at thedungeoncast, and you can find me on Instagram at thedungeoncast, and let us know if you have any good TikTok ideas, because I'm working on that right now. We're also, we got a couple irons in the fire. We're working on some new shows that are going to air on YouTube publicly, and I was going to pitch Will an idea about compiling one of these shows into 5 videos, and I think it would make a pretty good episode of the Dungeoncast, but we'll see about that. They're called DD5 and Fantasy Physics. Keep an eye out for them. They'll be coming next year.
Mm-hmm.
So, with that, is there anything you'd like to add, William?
No, I think you said everything sweetly and succinctly.
There is one more thing that we haven't mentioned in a while, which is I guess I should, while I'm here plugging extra stuff, check out our Discord, or the show notes below has all this stuff. You can buy merch from our merch store.
Oh, yeah.
We got a lot of new merch because we got a lot of new art.
We did. Yeah.
And art rhymes with fart, and that's what D&D smells like.
Okay.
But check us out. If you want to hit us up for advertising, or if you just want to say hello, you got a question, you have something you want to add, and you want to talk to us privately, you can do so at thedungeoncast@gmail.com. Go ahead and send us a message. We love to read them, and it might take us a little while to respond, but we'll get to you eventually.
Indeed.
In that, we can call it a game.
All right. We'll talk to you guys next week.
Bye.
Hey there, this is Justin Bartha. I made a funny new podcast, King of the Egg Cream. It has the greatest cast in the history of podcasts with actors like Louis Black.
I'm torn by my feelings for two women.
Bobby Cannavale.
You can eat it, or if someone hits you, you can put it on your cut.
Melanie Lynskey.
I wonder what these marvelous things are that look just like boiled chicken feet.
Jason Ritter.
I can break things and pick locks and kill people.
Michael Stuhlbarg.
The whole point is to inspire people that they should make themselves better.
Ari Grainer.
No, don't whet its appetite. What are you, an idiot?
Me, Justin Bartha.
That's not just any egg cream, that's a Lemke's special.
And all narrated by the hilarious Richard Kind.
This is the story of Harry Dalowitz. And how he rose from nothing to become New York's King of the Egg Cream.
So if you like funny true stories, come listen to King of the Egg Cream, available wherever you get your podcasts.